My name is John Elliott, and this is a podcast from the Insights in Jazz series, www.dropback.co.uk.
This week's podcast is about the standard Indiana, which is another jam session favourite. It originates from 1917, and it's been recorded since then throughout the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. It's been recorded by everyone from the original Dixieland Jazz Band in 1917 through Benny Goodman, Roy Eldridge, Lester Young, Coleman Hawkins, Hank Jones, Ben Webster, Stan Getz, and, you know, it's still a great favourite. And it's also well known because Miles Davis wrote Donna Lee as a contrafact on the same chords, and that was recorded in 1947. So that's a bebop head alternative on the same changes, often attributed to Charlie Parker, by the way. So the roadmap for this tune is on page 119 of the Insights in Jazz book, under the title of Donna Lee. And it's, as I say, it's a really interesting tune. It shows some classic jazz moves, you know, establishing the key, dropping back, visiting key four, visiting the relative minor, all these sorts of things that we come to expect of jazz standards. So let's analyze it in terms of the method. So the key was originally in F. Donna Lee and Indiana are often played in A flat. So the roadmap in the book for Donna Lee shows the changes in A flat. All the examples that I play are going to be in F, just to keep us on our toes about, you know, about maintaining key independence. So the form of the song, it's a song of two halves, an A, B, A, C form, with each section having eight bars, so it's a 32-bar song. The song of two halves is shown with the thick black line in the roadmap, horizontally halfway down. Like quite a lot of ABAC songs, the first A and the second A are not identical. The second half of the second A is different from the first A, and we'll come on to looking at that shortly. Pennies from Heaven, for example, or I'm thinking of. Okay, so down to the analysis. The first A then starts off at home, chord one, and it drops back and then goes round the cycle to a hover on the somewhere chord on chord 2-7. As we know, there are various ways of dropping back. You can do the TTFA drop back. You could do the chromatic drop back. Which is the original changes for Indiana. Or you could just, you know, start on chord one and go directly to chord 6-7, the drop back chord, and then move around the cycle to the somewhere chord 2-7. After that, the A section completes with a dogleg join to a cadence home. And that's pretty much the end of the A section. But what it does at the end, the very end of the A section, in the final measure, is it launches to the next section. So you'll see a launcher, which is it's the beginning of a new brick, a new family of bricks that I want to talk about in this podcast, which is the to four and back family. And the idea is that you have a bootstrap join, typically, if you're already on chord one and you're going to do a to four and back. You start with the tour part, which is a bootstrap launcher. So you do a bootstrap join from chord one and you do a new 2-5, which is the one that gets you to chord 4. So that's how the first A section ends. Now, before we move on to the B section, I want to mention there is an alternative way of starting this tour, this launcher, rather than arriving at chord 1 in measure 7, you can actually just abandon chord 1 altogether and start the launcher to chord 4 straight away, which is very similar but sounds like this. Okay, now again, before we go and look at the B section, I just wanted to mention that this opening sequence of chords is what in Conrad's Lego book is called the Donna Lee opening, and it's a very common kind of meta brick, if you like, which you'll see in lots of other songs. I mean, for example, Take the A Train, A section does something very similar to this, which is on page 69 in my book. The Girl from Ipanema does something very similar to this in its opening, which is on page 139 in my book. And Desafinado on page 114 is another example. And tunes that also start like this but are not in the book are Watch What Happens, Exactly Like You, and Jersey Bounce. You'll find lots of examples of this opening, so it's well worth getting used to this progression. Okay, so what's the B section all about? So we know that we're expecting to start with a brick, which is some sort of four and back, from the four and back family. Now, the way I've notated it in the roadmap probably hides what's going on. If I had my time again, I think I probably wouldn't put the brick in that I've got here. I think what I would say is, okay, so it's a four, it's some sort of four and back. So the idea is that we go to chord four, and then we need to find our way back to chord one. And then in the fourth measure of the B section, we do a drop back. So we see the drop back chord in the fourth measure of the B section. And I call this sequence here, actually, I call it the four and yak, because it's the most common way of going to four and getting back that you'll find in jazz standards. And it actually does a Yardbird cadence back, okay? So a Yardbird cadence is the one that goes flat 7-7 back to chord 1. So in the first measure of the B section, we see chord 4. In the second measure of the B section, we see chord flat 7-7. And in the third measure of the B section, we see either a chord 3, which is a substitute for chord 1, 3 minor substitutes for chord 1 very often, or we see a chord 1. And then in the fourth measure, we see the drop back chord. So basically, the first half of the B section is a 4 and yak, a 4 and a Yardbird cadence back, followed by the drop back chord, 6-7. And then the second half of the B section is the slow launcher. And this is the brick that we saw in the podcast about Blue Moon. And basically, what it does is it gives the impression of the rate of changes slowing down. It's basically made up of the chords 2-7, followed by the chord 5-7. And sometimes those two dominant sevens can be broken down into their 2-5 pairs, and sometimes not. So in this case, we see 2-7 for two measures, and then we see the classic 2-5 for a measure each to complete the B section. So that's the slow launcher, and we often see this at the end of sections, giving us the feeling that things are slowing down before we're about to start off again in anger, which we do in the second A section. So the first half of the second A section is exactly the same as the original A section, but the second half, as we mentioned earlier, is different. And what happens is, in the second half of this second A section, we get a cadence to the relative minor. So instead of the dogleg join from the somewhere chord to the expected 2 minor 7 to do a cadence home, we instead, we effectively, it's like backsliding. If the somewhere were a resolved place, you'd be backsliding down to the minor two to get us to the relative minor. So that's what we see in the second half of the second day section. We see a cadence to the relative minor. And at the very end of the second day section, we just have a launcher, a Homer launcher in effect, to get us back to the relative minor, which is where the C section begins. So the C section, the final section in the song, we're in the relative minor here. We have on, off, on for the first three measures, where the off is to 5 of the relative minor. And then in the fourth measure, we see a diminished chord. In the original changes, it's a diminished chord which has common tones to the relative minor tonic chord that we were on, and it's a way of joining to the long cadence with which we finish the song. So the song finishes, the end of the second half of the C section finishes with a long cadence to the home key. There is an alternative to the diminished chords if you prefer, like most beboppers do, to have a stream of 2/5s to play over when you're soloing. You can substitute the diminished chord for a 2/5 by backsliding from the relative minor. That gives us a 2/5 which goes perfectly around the cycle then to the beginning of the long cadence home. This reminds me of Days of Wine and Roses, which ends in a very similar way. It has this, the same launcher into a long cadence home. And that's pretty much it. I think what's interesting to note about this song is that if you take these bricks, which are very common bricks used in American songbook standards, the result is that you don't need a lot of joins. And that's because most of the bricks follow each other around the cycle. There's the dogleg in the middle of the first A section. If you need to know what the meaning of tour is, then you could write in that there's a bootstrap join between measures 7 and 8 in the A section. But that is what tour means, so that's why I haven't written that in. Part of the tour for and back family, which you can read about in chapter 8 of the book. There's the effective backslider in the middle of the second A. Between measures 7 and 8 of the second A, I forgot to write in the Homer join, because, I was just thinking, okay, we're at home, we're launching back to home, so I didn't actually remember to write the Homer join in. I guess you'll need some way of remembering how to get, in the C section, how to get from the relative minor either to the diminished chord, which in the roadmap I've labelled as off at sharp 4 diminished, that's so you can remember it as being a tritone away, or if you choose the launcher instead, then you'll be looking at a backslider join to go from the relative minor down a minor third to start the launcher 2/5 into the long cadence home. Thank you. Okay, that's it for Indiana.
My name is John Elliott. I'm the author of Insights in Jazz, which is available from www.dropback.co.uk. If you've got any questions you'd like to ask about the podcast or the method in the book, or any suggestions you'd like to make for future podcasts, then please contact me by emailing me at john@dropback.co.uk. If you found this podcast useful and you'd like to leave a tip, then you can visit the website where there's a PayPal donate button. Thanks for listening.